Today we have an exciting episode lined up as we have a special guest who will speak about how to create an irresistible company brand for employees. So we are thrilled to host Malin, who is the Global Head of Talent Management at SEB. We are about to talk about talent management, exploring how SEB integrates employer branding to attract and retain top talent. And we will discuss how to build up a good talent succession plan, how to create a talent ambassador program, and many other more things. So happy listening. Hello, my name is Katarin.
And I'm Brett.
Welcome to Talent Hub Podcast. And hello, Malin.
Hi.
So happy to have you in our podcast today. And as you know, our tradition in our podcast, we would like to know you about more. So maybe you can tell or give us a brief introduction about yourself.
Absolutely. And to start with, I would like to say big thanks for inviting me to this podcast. So very, very excited to be here. So short about me, my name is Malin Brandt-Lundin and I work as the head of talent management at SEB Group. And I have been here at SEB about 4 years now and started in the role as head of employer branding. And I still actually also have that position in addition to my head of talent management role until we have found my replacer. So yeah, I'm having a double hat at the moment. And I could also share then that before joining SEB, my background is within marketing and communication. So I've been working with various different roles within marketing and communications the latest years before SEB, like marketing and communication manager and marketing communication director. Not in the financial industry though, but actually in industrial companies such as Siemens, Schneider Electric and Kone, just to mention a few of the companies where I've been. So this is the first time for me to be working in HR and first time ever with talent management. So very excited about that.
That's super exciting.
Welcome to our world.
Yes. And let's we are going to hear about more. But what drew your experience from communication and marketing to employer branding in SEB? How do you end up in there?
Yeah, good question. I think that I have always been very passionate about people and passionate about ambassadorship. So also in my previous roles within marketing and communication, I have been working a lot with those topics. And we in marketing and communication together with HR has been driving various employer branding efforts. So when I was approached by this position in SEB, SEB is one of the most well-known banks in Sweden, and I actually studied business administration back many years time at university. So SEB has for me always been the company that I've been looking up to, and was thinking, you know, in the past as a student that it would be amazing to work in that company. So when this opportunity approached, would then both working with employer branding and working in a company such as SEB that I really have heard the very best of, it was an easy choice to say like, yes, I would like to go there. And also the task that I received was both to build up the strategy for employer branding and to build up also the teams and how we are working with this. So for me, that is very, very exciting also to, you know, be on this development journey, to be a part of creating something new and to create results together with the team. And the reason for approaching me was, of course, also my marketing and communication background. I normally say that no matter where you place employer branding, the important thing is that you work close between HR and marketing communication. And then in some companies, you know, employer branding is within the marketing and communication, and in some companies instead it is within HR. But the important thing is this collaboration and understanding between the different functions, I would say.
So great. And I have to secretly tell you that we became a big fans of SCB with Red quite lately. We have been winning the innovation competition in Estonia, and we have been spending some time with people from SCB. And I would say that you do have great people, and we have enjoyed it a lot. So it's been a new surprise for us. I mean, it's a big corporation, and there's a lot of people, but the vibe and energy is super great.
It definitely killed, for me at least, the stereotype of bank people in a bank. So,
so we are the fans. Anyhow, thank you for sharing your business journey. But maybe we have this tradition that we are usually asking something extra, so something that we cannot read from your LinkedIn profile. So maybe you can bring out something about you that we cannot find.
Well, absolutely. So I could mention something about my family. Then maybe I have 3 amazing kids, and being a mom is definitely one of my absolutely most important roles, I would like to say. And I see it's not just as a responsibility, but it's also a privilege to nurture, guide, and cherish those incredible souls as they grow and navigate out there in the world. So they are definitely my greatest joy and my deepest source of love and inspiration. So I have one girl who is 19, I have one son who is 15, and then I have another girl who is 13. So I spend a lot of time when not working then with my kids, and also with my husband and my friends. So that's very important for me to have this work-life harmony, I call it. Not balance, but rather harmony. And to find, those possibilities where you could find new energy. And one of those moments are definitely together with my kids, family, and friends. But in addition to that as well, I really like to exercise. I think that is one of the really important thing for me also, to relax and just reload. So I go to all different kind of training classes. And now in the summertime or springtime, I should rather say, then I also enjoy to be out running, to be in the forest, and just enjoy the nature.
Very lovely. And I really loved how you said it's not the balance, it's a harmony. So well worded. But now going back to this work side, not the family side, just a quick question. You mentioned that sometimes the employer branding is under marketing, sometimes it's under HR. Where it is in SCB?
It's in HR.
In HR, okay. But how you would define employer branding, especially in SCB?
A really good question. Well, the way I see it, it's both about how we could attract, engage, recruit, and also retain the most important talent for our company. So it's both about those, potential future talents, but it's also about our current employees. How could we make sure that they all see SCB as the most attractive employer, and that those who are working here also feel that it needs to be authentic? I talk a lot about that. We can't just, have employer branding campaigns been running out there, but it needs then to be true to who we actually are, so that if you ask someone who is working here, they could confirm the same picture, this is how they feel. We talk about the green heart here at SCB, that they also could feel that, yes, I'm into this culture that you are describing. So that is super, super important as well.
Absolutely agree with you. And just quickly asking, how often do you check this? If you ask somebody from SCB, are they aligned with the employer branding you are working on?
Yeah, so great question that as well. So I could describe some of the different surveys we have. So if we take the external perspective, so what is important for talents out there? How do they associate SCB with those then preferences? So there we are looking at the yearly surveys towards both students and professionals. And for us, it's the business and IT tech, both students and professionals, that are most important for us. So in Sweden and Nordics, we work together with a partner called Universum, where we then are getting those reports. So we could see what are the trends, and are the associations, climbing or declining in relation to what is most important for those different talent groups. And then internally, we are yearly having this big employee survey going out to everyone. So there we also have some questions that are related to our employer value proposition, where we could then see the trends also over the years. Is there a shift and so on? And would there be a bigger shift that we see there? Then we would deep dive even more into that result and investigate what are the reasons behind it? Is there something we need to tweak maybe in our communication messages, if that should be the case?
So it's a kind of like once in a year, but it's in a big scale.
Yes, so that's the bigger picture, affecting the whole employer branding strategy, so to say. But then in addition to that, we have also breaking it down for our key areas, so to say. Tech is, for example, one of them, where we also have more regular check-ins and are deep diving into like personas. We have created personas or the most important talents that we should attract, keep and retain here at SAP. And there we are having discussions with the business and also external talents on a more regular basis to see that we are like in line with what we are communicating and what are the preferences out there, so to say.
Very interesting. So how many personas are there?
So we have five different bigger divisions, and then within each and one of them, we have the five top personas, so to say, that we have deep dived into. And some of them are actually very similar to each other, so they almost go into each other, but we have anyhow also developed them for the different divisions, and then we have looked at those overlappings.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, how different is country by country the employer brand in SAP?
A really good question. So I think this is very important to look at when you're working with employer branding. If we talk about our employer value proposition, for example, we have one umbrella EVP, employer value proposition, that is the same for all the countries. But then we have also within that slightly tweaked the messages so that it could fit to the market, because there are different preferences in the different markets, and sometimes it could also be so that our business is a bit different from market to market. And maybe there are, for example, a bit localized benefits and compensation. That is another example where it differs a bit between the different countries. And of course, then we also need to adjust the messages and how we are communicating about those things in the market.
Mm-hmm. I know you recently were doing this employer value proposition. So maybe you already mentioned there is a one umbrella key thing, but maybe you walk us through a little bit, like what's unique there, and what were the main outcomes and maybe even surprises or learnings as well.
Yeah, so definitely. So this was a big project that it took almost a year to develop it. And I think that's also one important message to send, that if you should develop a global EVP and really, really, truly mean that it should be global, then it needs to take time. You can't just rush it and go ahead with it, but you need to involve a lot of different people. So we had a very iterative process where we were working together with a partner, but we both looked at the first is external perspective. So again, what does the different target groups out there, what are their preferences now? And also if you look then a bit into the future, if you look at those younger audiences, what are the preferences from them? Then we of course also looked at this internal perspective. So what is important for our employees? What do they see as our strengths and possibly also development areas? And then we also had a look at our strategy. So where would we like to be in the future? What is important for us as a company? How should we be positioned in order to reach our business targets? And then in the sweet spot, if you have like three circles, there you then identify your EP, so to say. And here we had to have this iterative process because there were, of course, some differences also in the different markets. So we had colleagues from our different home markets that were participating in those different workshops where we tweaked and went back and forth to finally then come up with something that everyone felt like, well, this could really go for like this global EVP that could be the same for all of us. So our global tagline is like, let's build sustainable societies together. And then we have three different core pillars describing what is included. So the first one is about relationships, and we call it relationships, relationships, relationships. And there we have about the importance of having networks within the company, how we have this warm and friendly culture where we support each other. And this was something that we really see that was all over the world in all our, you know, different markets. This is really something that is true to who we are. The second core pillar is called always curious, always growing. In that one, we have the importance of learning and development at SEB. So we have a huge focus on that and have, for example, a global digital university called SEB Campus, where all our employees, no matter where in the world they sit, could go in and attend various of different courses, everything from, you know, AI to how does a bank actually work. So there are like, yeah, plenty of different topics in there. And of course, we also have like collaboration with the different universities and partners also about other trainings. But this is one example that really works for everyone globally. Included into that box, we also have the importance of that all of us working here really have possibilities for growth. So we also focus a lot on internal mobility to show examples on how you could grow your career within the company. And not just climbing upwards, but it could also be about testing something totally different that you have never tried before. And most probably, if you would apply for this position outside of SEB, you maybe wouldn't have a possibility because you don't have the right qualifications for that. But here we value the knowledge about SEB so high so that you actually have a possibility to try those things out that you never have maybe been into or even thought about before. I mean, one example is myself, who has this marketing and communication background, as I mentioned, and now I work with talent management. So that is one example also where I'm not sure if I would have been able to get that kind of position if I would have been, you know, applying for it just externally. So that is one example. And we have a lot of different also initiatives connected to this, like gig jobs. We have something called where you could try out different things within our company and the shorter assignments and so on. So, but that was the second core pillar. Then the third core pillar is innovating for a sustainable future. This one includes our corporate social responsibility. And this is also something that applies for all our countries where we really are also involved into how could we, you know, support the society at large and how could we support our customers, for example, into the sustainability journey. How could we give advice to our customers and put them on the right track towards a more green and sustainable future? Innovation is also coming in here, where we also have had a lot of focus since we were started almost 165 years ago, and where we have been supporting, you know, innovation companies and are working and partnering up with a lot of different innovation companies. So we are working in this ecosystem with other companies. So that was just one example, but all those three core pillars is something that we could see that this is something we could stand for in all our countries. And then of course, how it works is that when we are communicating our EVP in the local markets, then we could use different cases that are locally in that country. For example, what kind of, you know, partnership with the university or something do we have here in Estonia? And that could, of course, be different than what kind of partnership do we have here in Sweden. But what is then jointly is the focus on development and partnership with those kind of organizations. So that is something that is common for all of us. So that's what we mean when we say that we have a global umbrella EVP, but then we are tweaking the messages and the examples, cases into each and one of those.
I always love the employer branding, it sounds so beautiful. Everything is so like future forward. Everything looks so perfect. Like I mean, there is nothing that you could say that, oh, I would like to work there or do it. So the presentation was super good. But Malin, what challenges did you faced it when you were like developing and putting this together? Like, I mean, the outcome is perfect, but I know we always know that there is a journey behind it.
For sure, for sure. Well, one is that it took much longer time than I would have thought. So you need to count on that there will not be everyone that directly say like, well, this is great. But, you know, you will encounter some challenges, some different voices. So you need to calculate the time to have these iterative processes, as I was saying. And you need to involve a lot of different parts of the organization. It's not just something that the employer branding team could run themselves. But we, for example, collaborated with both marketing, with communication, with the strategy office, with the business stakeholders, just to give a few examples. And of course, the more people involved, the heavier work it will be. But it is needed in order for also getting, you know, the buy-in in the organization. We, for example, then sent out also extra service in addition to the yearly one I mentioned earlier, to also really involve our colleagues, where we mentioned that now we are developing this new EVP and we would like you to be a part of this, to be involved. So I believe that is important, but you need then, of course, to have in mind that not everyone will agree. There will always be, you know, someone who thinks differently. So that was the first thing I would like to mention as a challenge. The other thing is, of course, also then how to implement it, because it's so easy to just write those projects. Mm-hmm. And then when you have presented it, then, you know, we got an approval. So we were up to the highest top management actually and presenting about this and getting an approval like, okay, this is our new EVP. But how do you then implement it, and not just making it something on the paper that you have there, you know, but how to actually get it out, especially if you talk about something globally. So we have really done a huge work also in the second phase on how could we get our colleagues around the globe to be a part of this, where we have had like regular meetings, sharing best practice examples, sharing material. For example, in some of the other countries, we don't have resources nor budget to could work with employer branding topics. So there it was very important also that us working on the group level, how could we provide them with materials that they easily could use this? And for example, then work with social media. That is something that you don't need to have budget to work with. But in those markets, for example, could they get their, you know, colleagues to help us spread the message through their LinkedIn accounts or other social media accounts, and then provide them with really good examples so that they could use that to spread the word. We also had a so-called guiding coalition that we started already when we started to draft the EVP, and then we continued with that for almost a year after as well, where we had some top managers. And then we also had some other managers from different parts of the organization, where we regularly both shared like updates, what have we been producing, what are the results, but where we also asked for their opinion. So it could be, for example, how could we, you know, reach out with this, or who could be a good person that we now should have in a video or in an interview. And in that way, we both got very, very good insights and feedback from the business, but also we got amazing ambassadors because they felt that they were a part of this, you know, they were really contributing, and they were talking about this in their management teams as one example and saying like, hey, I'm a part of this guiding coalition for the EVP and it's so important for our business. So that is definitely a tip for all of you out there. Try to think about who are like the key stakeholders. How could you get them to be involved and to be a part of your project and to be good ambassadors? That will definitely help you going forward.
That's definitely a different topic. But do you have like an ambassador program in SAP? like especially?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, I truly believe in ambassadorship, as I mentioned before. I think that is super, super important. So we have a lot of focus on how could we get our employees to help us spread the word about everything that SAP is doing. So we actually started this when I started the company 3.5 years ago, where we have something called the Social Media Ambassador Academy. So we have some trainings that we have conducted and put up in this SAP campus, our digital university, so that everyone could go in whenever the fit them to learn more about how to get started. But then we also have had twice a year been running the Social Media Ambassador Academy, where we have had 5 to 7 different steps. So we have varied a bit over the years how we have them. And it could be anyone, it doesn't matter what you work with, but the important thing is just that, you know, you would like to be a part of this. And then step by step, we take them through like what to think about everything, you know, from how to set up your LinkedIn account, what to think about, you know, when you are creating posts and how does the algorithms work and so on. And then they are a part of that of a community, a social media ambassador community, where we share tips and tricks on what could be, you know, news or like things that you could share about, because sometimes it could be hard to come up with those ideas and what should I actually write about. So then we are also supporting with that. And we have after that academy, we also have different like guest lectures coming now and then to give inspiration. So again, it's not just, you know, you do this and then you forget about it, but how could we, you know, keep them be passionate about this topic and to help them do this journey going forward. So there's a huge potential effect that you could get if your employees start to spread the word. And just imagine, you know, on if we take LinkedIn as one example. So if you share something there, most probably you will actually get more likes than if it was shared from your company account, if you have a big network. And what happens is also if you share it, someone in your network maybe will react and like it or comment it. And then it's also visible for their network. And we know for a fact through several different surveys also that it's much more trustworthy when the content comes from a person than from a company account. So it's so many, you know, checking the box onto working with social media ambassadorship, both cost efficient, the spread you could get, the trustworthiness into it. And it's fun as well, right? So it's also a great way to create engagement among your existing employees.
Just, I mean, we're going a little bit out of topic, but just out of interest, like how big should be this critical mass of ambassadors that the one company should have, like a percentage? Is it 5, 10, 20% of the people, employees?
Or how I much wouldn't like to put a number onto that. I'm just saying like start somewhere and don't get too stuck into that. The important thing here is that you get people who actually truly would like to be a part of it. So that's the important thing. And then if you get some people to get started, other people will follow with that. Mm-hmm. So it was hard, like the first time it was like, oh, do I dare to be a part of this? And what does it mean? And so on. But then, you know, over the years, when the rumors spread, there will more people will join. The more the merrier, but I don't want to put a number onto it.
Okay. But going back to employer branding a little bit, maybe what are the, how do you know you have been successful? Like, do you have KPIs or yes? How do you know you're successful? How that this project actually worked, is working? Mm.
Great question again. I think it's super, super important to have KPIs and measurements on the things we are doing. So otherwise we don't know, as you say, are we successful or not? So to give some examples on what we are looking into, one is rankings out in the market. So how attractive are we out there in the market? And then we look at our key target groups. As I said, business and tech, students and professionals. And there we could then see the trends. Are we going, you know, up in the ranking list or are we going down? So that is one example. And of course, that is more also general because it's very affected also by what are the marketing and communication doing? Are they very visible brand, then most probably will also go up in the employer branding rankings, which you also could see if you look at the top ranking list. Most often it's like big consumer brands that are also on the employer attractiveness lists, so to say. But in addition to that, we also work very close together with talent acquisition. So one important measurement for us is also to look at the applicants to our positions, both in general. Do we see that we have, in average, a higher applicant rate? And of course, the most important one is more qualified applicants. So that is, of course, the most important thing, that we have the right talents. Because if you have like a broad marketing campaign, as one example, maybe, you know, you get thousands of applicants. But so that shows that you are, you know, attractive out in the market. But what is really important for us in the end of the day is, of course, that we get the best talents to be recruited at our company. So then you have this qualified applicants that is very important to look at. So that is also like on the top KPI list. We have some additional KPIs as well. We, for example, look also at the career website. How many visitors do we have? Where we also look at the trends and look at, for example, are we working with digital campaigns? Do we see a trend that it's going up or not? And the connection in between that. We have also social media. It's very important for us, as I mentioned, not just through ambassadorship, but also through our career accounts. So we have, for example, a dedicated Insta account and a dedicated Facebook career account. So there we are, of course, looking at the followers, and also the engagement. Are the audience also, you know, engaging, liking, commenting, or yeah, somehow interacting with us? So that is also something we are tracking and looking into that is very important for us. And of course, ambassadorship. We would like to have employees who are, you know, active and engaging. So that's also one important measurement. And not to forget, we don't have only about the external attractiveness part, but as I said in the beginning, my definition of employer branding, it's also about how to engage our existing employees. So also to look at our employee survey, what are the engagement levels? Are they increasing or at least staying flat, or are they decreasing? That's really not good. So those, you know, internal data figures is also very important to look into. You don't just want to, you know, recruit a lot of people. We would like those talents to stay with our company and to develop. So there's a lot of different, you know, data numbers you could look into also when it comes to that respect and further investigate and analyze. So just to give a few examples, so we have like a long KPI list, but those were just a few examples.
Okay, great. I mean, now you're moved to EB role, to head of TA, now in SEB. So what are your main challenges that you're tackling in your new positions currently?
So yeah, it's talent management, so not just TA. So at SEB, talent management consists both of employer branding. So I still work with employer branding as well. We have talent acquisition, but then we have talent management processes. And for us, that involves everything from like strategic workforce planning to performance development, how we work with our internal talent programs, and how we work with our employee service, exit onboarding, so various different processes, systems, and tools, so to say. So that is quite a broad area, so to say. So right now I am in this process together with my amazing teams to explore and set a new direction for us going forward. Where should we be in the future? So we will here during this year put together a new 3-year plan also going forward. What should be our focus areas and what to work with? So now we are in this transformation phase also of putting the leaders in place. As I said, there's a recruitment ongoing right now also for my replacer. And we have some other also organizational updates that we are doing to get the right team members in the right place and then put this new strategy together as a team. I think that's very, very important.
We also wanted to discuss a bit about how the succession planning or is happening in SEB. Like, how do you ensure that you have a healthy succession inside of SEB? Do you have any programs happening to ensure that the talent is retained well and like can grow and you have the healthy relationship with them?
Yeah. So as I said before, internal mobility is one area that is in focus for us. So we are very committed that everyone in our organization should feel motivated, empowered, acknowledged, and given those opportunities for growth and development in our company. And to do that, we are first of all working with our leaders. So we have something called Transformative Leadership Program for our leaders to make sure that they are working according to our core values and having our behaviors and are supporting all our employees to grow and to develop as persons. So that is very, very important. And here we also have, as I mentioned, a rigorous also development possibilities with this university and all of those development opportunities. So a part of our performance management is, of course, that our managers should have regular dialogues with their employees onto those topics. So what are you, interested in doing in the future? How could I support you in this growth journey? Should there be a course you should attend? Should it maybe be that you should have a mentor? Should it maybe be so that you do like a short assignment somewhere? So there are like plenty of different opportunities here. And there we in my talent management team also have the responsibility for creating, facilitation material for how could you actually conduct those dialogues and how frequently should you have them and so on. So that is one example. Then we also have different succession planning cycles where we also are pinpointing talents that we are then also doing different kind of activities with. It could be everything from trainings to mentorships to having like talent breakfasts with the CEO as one example. So we have various different activities also for different talents.
Is it also like happening at a global level or do you have like a separate like freedom or opportunities to do something locally and are the programs a bit different than the global one or quite similar?
Yeah, it's again a bit like the EVP. So we have this umbrella framework on things that is happening on group level that then also applies for the local countries where they also could then send in names, for example, to the different talent pools, if you could call them like that. But then, of course, there are also possibilities to do things locally. So in many of our home markets, they also have like local talent programs in addition to that. And having different kind of activities also for all employees for how we would like everyone. We don't think it's just, the top talents, but we really believe in how we could support all our talents to constantly, develop themselves. So we have actually also learning target that at least 42 hours per year, all our employees are encouraged to take different kind of trainings and listen to webinars. It could be podcasts also, but then different kind of learning opportunities, we could call them.
Mm. And also I've noticed that I think SEB is doing a really good job with universities. You have mentioned it several times that you have a good cooperation, and I see already like in local market in Estonia, it's happening as well. So maybe you can give some tips to our listeners who are thinking of building up some good relationship with universities. What are the must there and how do you have this strong relationship to ensure that you will get the good talent straight out of the universities as well?
Hmm. So I think, first of all, think through what are the universities that are most important for you. Again, coming back to those personas and really also connecting it to your strategy. Because my experience is that when working with employer branding, there are always more things that you can do than you actually have the resources, budget or time to do. So very important first to think through also what are the most important ones for us connected to your strategy about talents then in the future. And then to really also develop these relationships, long-term relationship. So if I take Sweden as one example, we actually have partnership agreements with 10 of the biggest universities here in Sweden, which then includes different kind of things, everything from being out there at career fairs and being out at events, but also how we could guest lectures. We are coming out there and, you know, having our experts sharing their knowledge with the students. So there could be a lot of different things included into that, but we meet and greet with them on a regular basis, our university partner contacts, and really trying, you know, to find this mutual way that could be beneficial both for them and for us. I think that is also very, very important to have this, like, yeah, partnership, so to say.
Great. I think we are now approaching like the end of our podcast or this episode, and we have two questions for you. The last ones that we always ask from all of the guests. You can just ask the first thing, like you can answer the first thing that comes or pops up on your mind. These are really quick ones. So who is the person who inspires you?
Excellent question. There are so many, but I could mention one connected a bit to we are working with. So I think Simon Sinek and his book about the why, that's a profound source of inspiration to start with the why. I think that is very much also applicable on what we are working with within employer branding and marketing and communication, to really, you know, analyze that and how could you use this why to both inspire, build loyalty, and then also differentiate yourself in a competitive market.
And can you please give us one reading or listening recommendation?
Yeah, maybe I could give one tip on a new podcast that we have actually at ACB from our employer branding team. It's called Chats You Didn't Know You Needed. In that one, you could listen to the moderator, Martina Wallenberg, who is actually a part of the Wallenberg family, who was one of the founders of ACB, but where she then invites both experts from ACB and external speakers as well, talking about everything from cybersecurity is one of the latest one that was recorded here recently, to, for example, learning and development, where she then talked with, one learning and development head at another company here. So there's a lot of inspiration to get from there. So yeah, listen into it if you haven't done it yet.
Thank you, Malin, for coming to our podcast. I mean, it was very inspiring from the very beginning already when you said that, you know, you wanted to work at SAP. So dream big and or be careful what you dream for. And thank you for sharing this employer branding journey and SAP. I hope our listeners also can get some tips and tricks and good luck with your new role as well.
And go check out the listeners also, the ACB career pages, and get some more information what they're doing, because I think it's really various that what the things you are doing. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me here. It has been really a pleasure and an honor to be here on your podcast.